Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
From Asmik Core Studios near Detroit, Michigan, it's Unregimented.
Gangsters, what's up, guys?
And now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to Unregimented number 297. I'm Chris.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Rich.
I'm Jay.
Oh, who's that?
It's Jay. Welcome back.
We got a hacker on the line.
Well, thank you for having me back.
Yes, this is a blast from the past, folks. This is a deep cut tonight.
It's that was a long time ago.
It's like a Beatles reunion.
So you stopped by to check in. How's the Trump presidency treating you?
It is silly. This is a silly, silly presidency. That's just not funny anymore.
Yeah, I think, you're in the majority now. 51% in the latest poll are in at least approving of the impeachment hearings, which is fair. I think these polls are weird because they ask them as well, do you think Trump should be impeached? And what kind of question is that? Like, we should have impeachment hearings in order to determine if he should be impeached, right?
Right.
We shouldn't pre-assume or prejudge, even though he, commits his crimes on live television. Yeah. We still have a process to adhere to. But yeah, 51% now approve, and that's up considerably from just last week. We'll see.
Well, I mean, yeah. But he should have been impeached a long time ago. Like, it's, I don't know. I mean, the guy is not a president, right? I mean, he's a businessman. It was funny. Ha ha, the troll won the presidency. That's great. But now it's absolutely serious. People are dying.
Right. Well, and there are some Republicans that are agreeing with that as well and starting to split from him. Some are taking they're taking exception to his policies, but not necessarily breaking with him completely and calling for impeachment. But, you'd like to say that, they're seeing the light now, but really, they knew the whole time. All the Republicans knew what a self-serving egomaniac this guy was.
Yeah.
And it was just how far could they ride this horse before they got bucked off.
Now they're like, no, this is a shitty horse. Never mind.
Too late, fuckers.
Yeah. You're already on it. It's already bucking you.
It sounds less like a come to Jesus moment and more like sour grapes.
Right.
Like, I got shut out of this Trump movement thing and now I'm going to call him out. I mean, like Scaramucci, it's not that I disagree with a lot of the things that he's saying. It's just, boy, as soon as he cast you out in the cold, you flipped 180 on him.
The human equivalent to a line of cocaine. That's probably my favorite insult I've heard of that guy.
So, what good is his commentary even when he is right? Because that whatever he's saying, he's only basing that on what he can personally gain. The only reason he was so much on Trump's dick for so long, even after getting fired, is because there was money to be made there.
Yeah, somebody who is for mooch.
Somebody who could get on CNN and filibuster for 15 minutes about how Trump is a disruptor and he may not agree with every his methods, but the guy gets stuff done. That's making money for him every fucking weekend. And now he's realized, I can continue this grift just by doing a Glenn Beck, essentially. So there's subpoenas coming. Rick Perry's going to get, he's been subpoenaed. He's going to appear at some point. The White House has made it publicly known that they are refusing to cooperate with this inquiry. So I guess it's TBD whether Rick Perry is actually going to show up. But subpoena, even if you're part of the White House, still means that you go to jail if you don't show up, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't look like somebody who'd do well in jail.
Like, what's his plan to be like? Oh, was that today? Oh, sorry.
I had to be there. I had this thing. I had to get a $250 haircut.
Right?
Trump is a traitor. That's what Scatamucci says.
It sounds like Giuliani is going to be the one to, at least the first one to fall. They're going to hope that he takes the fall for it, but I don't think the buck's going to stop there.
You think he'll be the Colin Powell?
Two of his, in what respect?
Well, Colin Powell. Yeah.
Right, he took the fall for the WMD shit. Yeah,
that was the dude that wanted to retire. That was it.
Right. Yeah, that was his last act of grace to the administration before bowing out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think it's going to be graceful for Giuliani because he's looking at real criminal charges here. Two of his buddies, Ukrainian gentlemen who he's, I guess, is being accused of working with to operate shadow policy between the U.S. and Ukraine, bypassing traditional, channels. And those guys were trying to leave the country yesterday and got scooped up. Nice. And they're being charged with election fraud. And they're subpoenaed to for the impeachment inquiry as well.
Wonderful. Yeah, I haven't paid attention to that, unfortunately. But
do you think any of this moves forward before the first of the year? Or all this shit gets tabled until the holidays, or until after the holidays?
Yeah, we'll get tabled
until the holidays. I guess, the thing with impeachment hearings is that the sole power is granted to the House, and that means that they determine the rules, basically. I mean, they don't make up the rules, but they get to determine how the investigation plays out, for sure. Or I shouldn't say investigation at this point. I guess it is kind of an investigation, but an inquiry, the official word. So I know that there's a lot of talk about wanting to move quick, because the feeling that the reason that the Mueller report wasn't effective against Trump is the length of time people had to wait for it to come out. On the other side, don't you want to do it right?
Yeah, was it the whole one shot at the king philosophy?
Well, in that case, we already took our shot, and this is a second shot. So there's a theory that Trump is inoculated by the Mueller investigation. Right? There's nothing that's going to stick to him at this point anymore, because it can all be written off as a Democrat conspiracy. But
neat.
I don't know. I think he's certainly acting weaker.
He's starting to act like someone who I wouldn't be surprised if he just went, you know what? Fuck it. I'm done. Pulls a Nixon.
Yeah.
See, I don't know, man. I mean, we bring that up every once in a while. I just don't know if he's got it in him to do that. I mean, that's his ego is, and his narcissism is just off the fucking charts, man. And I mean, just to give up and walk away, to walk away would be one thing. I think it's if he feels he's being perceived as giving up, like he's not walking away on his terms.
But that, but I you're think missing the. The extreme type of narcissism that you're dealing with means that there is no losing. There's only reframing the conflict. If Trump loses in any capacity, whether it's election, whether it's getting impeached, whether it's just walking away from the whole thing, it can always be reframed as, it was a rigged election, it was a conspiracy, or just fuck it. People aren't ready for my radical ideas.
Well, there's always the people who support him no matter what. If he says water's not wet, if he says grass isn't green, they're going to agree with him.
Yeah,
I think those people are going to stroke his ego no matter what.
Yeah, all of the steady support that he's had, that 40% that he's roughly continuously pulled at, I don't think their opinion is going to change at all. I mean, people keep looking to, of course, Nixon being the closest historical reference that we have for a situation like this. And I think in hindsight, we look at it like, that it was this moment that the scales fell from everyone's eyes, right? And we saw the president for who he really was. Yet the Republicans who asked him to leave office did so not because they cared whether he was corrupt or not, but because his corruption and the assumed corruption there was keeping him from doing his job properly. He was a distraction and a liability to the party. But what the Republicans concentrated on after Nixon was not how to make get candidates that aren't corrupt or aren't self-serving. It was how to make sure that Watergate doesn't happen again, meaning that the shit never gets found out. That was their problem with Watergate.
So the message isn't don't commit crimes, don't be an asshole. The message is don't get caught.
Don't get caught. Yeah. That's the message that the Republicans took away post Nixon. And they got a lot better at their game. If Trump had a filter and a little bit of situational awareness, we would have never found out any of this shit until he was long gone from office.
He does not give a shit.
The people around him actually do a pretty decent job of operating in the shadows and breaking the law in secret. But yeah, he doesn't give a shit. And that's his narcissism. You know, he carries his success with him.
He just walks around saying, I'm the fucking president. You don't like it? Kiss my ass.
Well, that's the thing. He doesn't step into the power of the presidency and say, this is what I was made for. He assumes that power as in a power that he's always had, but now is just finally being properly respected for.
Didn't he at one point look to the heavens and say, I'm the chosen one? There's a video clip of him doing that.
I wouldn't doubt it.
You got to look that up.
He knows how to pander, and he hasn't done a ton of pandering to the religious outside of abortion rights, really, which is all they really care about anyway.
He said this recently. He said this in August.
That he's the chosen one?
Yes. Yeah, fake news. I don't have time for this.
Gen Z's attention span is a short 12 seconds.
And mine's shorter.
15% more than Gen X.
Well, so all this impeachment stuff is stemming from it's stemming from Trump spouting off about Biden, right? We wouldn't have been looking into the U.S.'s dealing or the White House's dealings with Ukraine if it wasn't for the fact that Trump was obviously trying to, you know, pressure Ukraine into further investigating Joe Biden's kid. And I don't know, like, from what I understand, what is his name? Hunter Biden?
Yes.
From what I understand, this guy didn't break the law, but that doesn't mean that what he did was right either.
He wasn't doing a job that he was technically qualified for.
I guess not on paper, but what they wanted him for was for his name. So yeah, he was born to do that job, to be Joe Biden's son. That was the job he was being paid.
Is it bad? I just look at this as, is some rich guy's dad got him a job? Like, is it really what this is?
That's pretty much what it is.
Well, it's that, but there's another layer to it, though, because, you know, the company that hired Hunter Biden, that paid him $50,000 a month, was corrupt. And it wanted to, the whole reason for having Hunter Biden on the payroll was to give the image that they were cleaning up their business, meanwhile still doing the same corrupt things that they had done before.
You get the money to pay someone $50,000 a month, I question your up and upness. That's a thing. You know,
it's probably out of their marketing budget.
If you're not Google or Apple and you're paying someone 50 G's a month, you know, I'm willing to bet not everything is maybe above board. But that's just me. I'm a cynic.
It definitely wasn't. So, I don't buy into this idea that you either are a Trump supporter and you think that Trump is just trying to clean up corruption, no matter where it is. He's all of a sudden worried about corruption in other countries, and that Hunter Biden is a criminal, or that Hunter Biden is completely innocent and Trump's a criminal. I mean, again, there's been multiple investigations into Hunter and there's been no evidence of any criminal wrongdoings, but it seems like it's something that should be criminal, right?
What do the kids say nowadays? The optics aren't good. It's not a good look.
It's not a good look, and it does happen all over government. On, you know, it's a totally nonpartisan issue, the money for influence. Or if not influence, at least the, what's the word I'm looking for? You're just looking to attach yourself to somebody to say, hey, you know, if so-and-so's on our payroll, we can't be that bad. Will we be breaking the law with the son of a vice president on our staff?
Nudge, nudge.
Ooh,
wink, us? Wink. Yeah. Is it the election yet?
No.
Cool.
The zoo has not completely let out yet.
We have over 12 months of this shit left.
Just to see another Trump presidency.
Well, I mean, it's really all, excuse me, all he has to do is cast enough, you know, doubt and shade on Biden and, or whoever the eventual front runner is. When we were talking pre-show, I think we've all pretty much like, said at one point, like, whether or not he's our pick, we think Biden's going to end up being the guy the DNC pushes to the front. All he has to do is cast enough shade and doubt on them, on whoever the front runner is eventually. And it just seems like people eat it up for some reason. I don't understand why, because I don't think coming from almost any other politician that this would work. Well, first of all, he's not a politician. Maybe that's why it works.
Well,
he's a salesman.
He's a huckster.
Selling it.
So if with this impeachment inquiry, right, it's an inquiry. It doesn't have to necessarily go to impeachment, but it probably will, at which point it will be sent to the Senate. We're assuming that unless something drastic happens in the meantime, that it, the Senate will not convict. And he will not be removed from office. But I would think he's got to be worried just looking at poll numbers. I mean, he was tweeting about this poll that said that 51% of American citizens are supporting the impeachment inquiry. And he's immediately blasting it on Twitter and calling out Fox for having horrible polls that never reflect the truth. But that 51% means that you have independents that are deciding that Trump is probably corrupt and should be investigated. That doesn't sound like an independent that's likely to vote for Trump again. Oh, Trump is not going to get reelected with his 40% that continually approve of his behavior electing him.
I just think Trump's game is to play it this way. Make sure the people who support him no matter what are going to come out and vote for him. Unless an act of God keeps him away on election day. And then
like people, a free monster truck rally.
There you go.
Democrats can play this game.
There you go. Move election day to a Sunday.
It'll be huge.
But, and then the people who are going to vote against him are going to vote against him. I think he's trying to, I don't know about that. Basically, if you frustrate the people in the middle to where they just throw their hands up and go, fuck it, I don't even know anymore. You know, one news outlet says this, one news outlet says this. You know, this is what my eyes tell me. This is what Trump is saying happened. Everything's at odds with each other. Fuck it. I give up. I don't even want to. I'm so disgusted. I don't even want to be part of the process. That's going to favor him.
But you know how he wins again? If his opponent ends up being someone who keeps saying the word socialism, find a different word for it. Stop saying that word. If his opponent keeps saying that word, that's how he wins again. Because just some people just hear that word and that's it. That's all they got to hear. I'm not voting for that person.
I think there's quite a few paths that lead to him winning again.
Yeah, but what's the overlap on that Venn diagram between people who would vote for a liberal and people who would not vote for anyone who talks about socialism? People are upset about socialism. I don't think there's a lot of people in the center that are upset about the concept of socialism. I think that's a right-wing talking point. And I don't know if I agree with that, because by calling socialism by another name, you're letting the Republicans frame the debate, which is what the Republicans have been really good at in the past couple of decades.
But to most people, is
framing the debate and deciding what the terms mean, and deciding what, you know, which things get a bad connotation, which ones get good.
To a lot of people, the word socialism means losing part of your autonomy.
Yeah, I agree, but I think that those people are probably on the right anyway and are going to vote Republican no matter what. If we're talking about a strategy for swaying independents, I don't think that socialism is a bad way to go.
I think the whole socialism thing is a honeypot. It's a trap set, because you can't. Okay, if you have any Democrat who distances themselves away from that term, the people on the far left, you're not going to win them over by proving how anti-socialist you are. So they're automatically going to be disenfranchised. They're going to vote third party or just remove themselves from the situation. All right. The people who are in the center, who may be center right, okay, I could see them being, you know, well, do I really want to take a chance? You know, yeah, they're saying they're not socialist, but
who says
anything? You know, anybody can say anything they want. It doesn't, you know, sticking feathers up your ass doesn't make you a chicken.
If Trump actually gets impeached and another Republican, a more run-of-the-mill Republican, runs in the next election, I would agree with that. That would be a trap that a Democratic candidate could fall into. But I think that you're going to have enough people voting passionately against Trump. That's not going to be a major factor in their decision.
I think you wildly underestimate the middle of the country.
How do I underestimate them?
Do you think that is his base? You think they're voting for anybody on the left?
Nope.
No, that's what I've been telling you. Those people that are freaking out about socialism are lifelong Republicans. They're not a group of people to be swayed away from Trump. I mean, they might get fed up with Trump. They might, like the Republicans did to Nixon, realize that he's no longer effective as a leader. But that doesn't mean that that people will defect from the party.
Unregimented.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
Unregimented.
Well, I agree with you that there's shit. Sorry, lost it. Okay, anyways, brain fart in my pad.
Got that good weed over there in Dearborn Heights?
No, it just I had like five different thoughts going through my head at one time, and I lost the train of thought. So, and if I sit here and try to remember it, I'll drive myself nuts. So, whatever. Moving on.
Well, what about Trump pulling the support for the Kurds in Syria? Is this just his idea of a distraction from the impeachment inquiry?
It's talk about something else, doesn't it?
No, I mean,
not really.
Yeah, it's like, no, I'm just going to keep being the damn president. I don't give a shit. This impeachment stuff's whatever. He's just trying to blow it off. Crazy bastard.
I don't know, but it's just weird. Like, at the last minute.
Oh, I mean, like, when Clinton's shit blew up, all of a sudden he started shooting, you know, missiles at ships over in fucking Bosnia. Like, it's politics as usual, man. Like, that's kind of
the reverse. You know, there was a massacre happening and Clinton decided to do something about it. The timing was suspicious, certainly. Trump's doing the opposite. He essentially let a massacre happen. It certainly isn't building confidence in the Republicans.
Well, they'll have a chance to do something about it once the impeachment gets to the Senate. They are the jury.
But there's so many Republicans that would, a vote against Trump would mean saying, I was wrong.
It's also their job. Remember, it is an election year next year. It's a lot of them with where they live and who they represent, and that could be it for their job. Well, you want to get, you broke the party lines, See, we'll get a new Republican in there.
Yep.
Or even worse, we'll put a Democrat in for a term just to make a point.
Well, speaking of socialism, the queen of socialism, AOC, was criticized this week for getting a haircut that cost $250.
Oh, you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. I can understand where the criticism comes from.
What's the talk that she's got to walk, though, that people shouldn't get expensive haircuts?
Really, dude? She rallies against capitalism and the 1% an awful lot. And a $250 haircut's a very 1% kind of thing to do.
I don't know. You can be anti-capitalism and still be pro having nice things.
Can you?
Yeah, you can. I mean, if you plan to, you know, operate a government solely based around the concept of capitalism, then nobody's going to have nice things anymore.
What do you mean?
Meaning that it'll ruin your economy.
How
capitalism.
So?
Capitalism?
Yeah.
Well, because there's...
did we drop the call?
Yeah.
I'm here.
I think we lost Aaron.
No, Aaron. Sorry. I mean,
oh, there we go.
I was saying, we can't hear you if you can hear us.
Did you fall down?
Capitalism came and got him.
Yeah. Yeah. He just went away.
He was like, who's at the door? Capitalism.
Yeah. The Illuminati showed up. Said, you can't finish your sentence.
No, what was I saying? It's the idea that there is no one ethos to apply to governing. The whole concept of our government was to take the best ideas from everywhere. That's all. And if you operate on just capitalistic principles or communistic principles, both are a road to failure.
They both end up to one group making the decisions for everybody. I will agree with you there. It's just, it's different roads to the same destination.
Yeah. You either just crumble internally or you implode.
Just keep buying your shit. Just keep buying your shit. It'll all be good.
I guess my thing with AOC is when you put out videos on Twitter of acting like you're mystified because it's the first acting like it's the first time you've ever seen a garbage disposal. Yeah, acting like that's something that only rich people have, and then like it's. I'm not saying she's not allowed to. I'm just saying when you spew the kind of rhetoric that you do, you should be kind of watching what you. Well, I mean, Warren Buffett doesn't drive around in a fucking Rolls Royce. You know, he's always talking about he drives around in a 25-year-old car or whatever.
Yeah, he has a Cadillac. Cadillac.
Like I'm not criticizing her. I could just see where the criticism comes from because when you talk like she talks a lot and you have some of the takes that she has, it seems a little hypocritical.
I'm criticizing her not for being a hypocrite. I'm criticizing her for being stupid enough to fall for the fact that a $250 haircut is going to make her look better than a $40 haircut. Like you're paying for the prestige of whoever's cutting your hair once you get to that level of...
Yeah, you're paying for the labor.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, but... Okay, but it's like... It's like anything. It's an experience, right? She wants to go someplace nice, be taken care of, feel like she's taking care of herself. It's like going out for a nice meal. You know, you could go to a really fancy restaurant and drop more than $250 and probably be there less. And, you know, what do you have? You shit everything out the next day and you have no haircut to show for it. Well, there's no reason why she can't spend money on herself just to... Because she wants to, you know, has enough money to afford a $250 haircut. If she wants one, she should have it.
I don't know. It's a little glass housey with the stuff that she talks.
Well, it's one of those traps. It's like when Bernie got taken to task because he has a $400,000 lake house. First of all, a $400,000 house on a lake is a shack. Let's be honest here. Go out to Walled Lake and look at the houses that are going for $300,000 and tell me that those are mansions. They're not. You're paying because you're living on a fucking lake, all right? I mean, but people who want to look at Bernie and go, oh, well, Mr. Just redistribute the wealth.
Well,
he's got a $400,000 lake house.
Talk about you're the champion of the working man. The working man don't have a lake house, let alone a $400,000 lake house. Where's your lake house? Is it next to mine?
Yeah, but
are we neighbors?
Bernie, but if Bernie didn't have
$250 haircuts,
if Bernie didn't have the lake house, if Bernie didn't have millions of dollars, why would we listen to
him? It was actually a $300 haircut, and she paid for it herself.
Oh yeah, totally, yeah.
Yeah, but her salary comes from the taxpayer.
Mm, whatever, it's her freedom to spend it on what she wants to.
her biggest sin is you're not exactly the most frugal person. Congratulations, you are totally a politician. You just pissed away $300 on a haircut. You are perfect for Washington.
Yeah, would AOC the bartender have gotten a $300 haircut?
No.
She'd have been sliding free drinks to the hairstylist and been like, I'll be over tomorrow. The barter system. But no, to answer your question about Bernie, here's the thing. Like, how many pictures have been floating around for years now of him flying commercial, like, coach, et cetera, et cetera? No one makes a big deal about it. Man, it's a $400,000 lake house, and everyone acts, oh, we got the headshot. This is it. This is it right here. He's horrible. And it's like,
his own heart's going to take him out anyway.
Well, yeah. I mean, well, that's a different story. Except for the most hardcore Bernie supporters, I think that pretty much put the nail in the coffin of, you know, let's be honest, you don't stand a chance now.
Is that the best metaphor, Rich?
Nope. Yeah, I didn't mean it like that. Now that I think about it, yes. But no, she makes we went over this when she was elected. She makes like Congress people make like what 170 some grand a year or something like that.
75 a year till you die.
All right, as ridiculous as I think it is to pay $200, $300 for a haircut, you make that much money, you spend that much money on dumb shit. If she wasn't a congresswoman, uh-huh. And she was just a businesswoman, and she spent, we found out that she makes $175,000 a year plus crazy ass Cadillac benefits, so she's not paying anything for health care. And she gets a $300 haircut, we go, of course she does.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing. What is the bigger sin? Her trying to, her getting a $300 haircut, or her sitting there going, you know, we need to tighten the purse strings and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then it's like, yeah, but then why go out and drop $300 on a haircut?
Why purse strings?
Like, we understand that you can do it. But just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do something.
I'm in the latter camp. Like, I don't give a shit that she... It's the rhetoric that she talks. To me, it's really inconsequential what she spends. You want to spend $300 on a haircut? I'm with Rich. Like, you're dumb. But it's
your money, but you're being a dumbass. Yeah. But it's your money.
But it's to me, it's... Just be prepared for, with the rhetoric you talk all the time, you should be prepared for a little bit of criticism.
Right. Be prepared for pundits to go on TV with haircuts that they probably drop more on their hair weekly than she does in a year.
But they don't make their money off of talking about how the playing field is unlevel and all that. I guess that's my thing, is that's kind of what she's known for. She's trying to be the champion for the little person and all that shit. And this is not a very 98% thing to do. I mean, she's allowed to do it. I don't give a shit she did. I just would say, if when you say the stuff that she says, be prepared.
How much do you think Rachel Maddow's haircut costs?
I was just going to bring her up. If she pays over $200 for a haircut, someone needs to kick her ass.
How much is a Flo-Bee? Like $39.95?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. The sucking cut, you know. I saw it on TV. You know what the fuck?
Yeah, but then hey, she just spent $8 on that to cut her fucking hair. Like, oh my god, she spent $8 on that piece of shit product. You know, I mean, that, like, there's always something to bitch about, right? I mean, as far as that goes, I mean,
to me, it's like it'd be like Warren Buffett standing there in a $10,000 suit, saying like, hey, the way you. The key to wealth is to save your money and not buy stupid shit. You know, while he's wearing a $10,000 suit, like it's a mixed message, I guess.
I just like buying stupid shit, so apparently so does she.
I forget what comedian it was, but he said, he goes, you know, white people always criticize black people. When black people get money, they go out and buy, you know, high dollar, you know, high price sneakers and jewelry and, you know, throwback jerseys that cost $600-$700. He goes, but when white people get money, they go out and buy a $5,000 statue of Batman, and that's okay. Like, what the fuck? You know, everybody has their dumb shit they drop their money into. Ultimately, what you guys said, I absolutely agree with. I don't care that she got a $300 haircut, besides the fact that, honey, you got taken for a ride. I got to see this haircut, first of all. Like, it's like when you hear, you know, someone gets divorced and the ex-wife's getting, and, you know, and they're worth $300 million, the ex-wife's getting half of it. Ain't no pussy worth $150 million. I'd like to meet it, put it on down payment, you put it on layaway, but, you know, I just don't buy it. So I want to see this $300 haircut, first of all. But I mean,
well, it's a haircut and like low lights, I think it said. It was like $80 for the haircut and $180 for the low lights.
I mean, and ultimately, I guess what upsets me the most is Notorious AOC, if you really need to be pampered, come to my house. I'll pamper you, okay? And then I'll slide some dick in you. You're getting a bonus plan, okay? You know, just come here. So I'll pamper you, sweetheart. It's okay.
I think she shaves.
With them eyebrows, she better. Because that's a that's a tuft down there if she doesn't. I mean, you can see it. She can be wearing panties, and you can see that she doesn't shave from across the street. And you're like, woof. Meanwhile, Aaron's appalled.
He just left.
I thought I heard a thump.
There's too much testosterone on this podcast right now.
Sorry about that, Aaron.
Well, I mean, seriously, it's a dumb issue. It's an issue that only it matters only in gotcha politics. I mean, let's be honest. It doesn't affect how her decisions.
Yeah, I mean, it's small change comparatively to like what other people do with actual taxpayer dollars. I mean, if she paid for that with her income that she receives for the job she does, then why can't she spend $300 of her money on that? Yes, the taxpayers pay her income, and yes, she preaches all this shit, but she's got to be out in front of everybody. So, I don't know.
That's what she says, she can write it off too? Double dipping?
Is she writing it off? I don't think she's writing it off. Yeah, why not?
It's for her job?
That's capital. Yeah, all right. She got to look good. She's AOC. No, that's gotcha politics.
I mean, that's why I said it's an amusing thing to sit here and banter back and forth about, but ultimately, it's not deciding whether people live or die. It's not decide, you know, it's not taking money from a group of people who need this funding to survive so she can get a haircut. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if it was that type of situation, then I'd be a little bit more serious about it, and I could sit here and have a serious conversation about it, but I just can't take it serious when it's like, it's a $300 fucking haircut. She makes $175,000 a year.
They show some kid who's not getting free school lunch this year because of her haircut.
Enjoying that haircut? I'm enjoying my air sandwich, bitch. You know,
Daryl's not getting school lunch this year because AOC got a $300 haircut.
Oh, shit. You know what? You just wrote the next, her next Republicans who runs against her commercial. It's going to just open up with like her haircut. Do you like this haircut? Well, this child didn't because he didn't eat because of it. So, AOC taking food out of the mouths of children.
Some generic brown kid with a tear in their eye. Why don't you want me to eat?
Is that crickets I hear from Aaron?
We get lost in the weeds sometime with the nonsense, and Aaron just checks out.
It's probably reading a comic book right now.
we're used to it at this point. Oh, man.
Unregimented.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
Unregimented.
What about Ellen sitting down with Bush?
Oh, boy.
Some sort of...
How many times has Ellen sat down with Bush?
Yeah, she was in the press box. Hey-o.
Yeah. y'all out there surprised Alan likes Bush?
She was in the press box at the Dallas Cowboys game with W. Yeah. And yeah, apparently now she has to go away because all of your friends have to have the same political beliefs as you. So,
yeah.
But what I liked is she went on TV and said, whatever, he's my friend, he's a nice guy, sorry. But apparently,
you can't be friends with the war criminal.
Nope. He must pay for shit from 15 years ago. We must never forget.
Someone on Twitter was like, oh, so if you're going to call George W. A war criminal, then so is Obama, and so is his dad, and so is Clinton. And the response from Twitter was like, yeah, and? Yeah, cool. They're all war criminals. So nobody befriend ex-president.
Except for Jimmy Carter.
Right.
Jimmy Carter's got cancer. He's 90. He's got a black eye. He's out there building houses for poor people. All right. If he's a war criminal, he's paid his penance. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Well, is it okay? I already know the answer to this, so I'm just going to say it anyways. Does the average person, is the average person losing sleep over Ellen hanging out with W, or is it the woke flakes on Twitter who wake up every day searching for hashtags about something to get outraged about?
I am glad that Ellen didn't feel like she had to do a public apology for this. And I think it's just based on logic. Like, the people who are upset about this are not the people sitting at home watching her show.
Mark Ruffalo says, sorry, until George W. Bush is brought to justice for the crimes of the Iraq War, including American-led torture, Iraqi deaths and displacement, and the deep scars, emotional and otherwise, inflicted on our military that served his folly. Dude, learn about periods. We can't even begin to talk about kindness. So, yeah, it's the typical, Rich, it's the typical crowd.
Okay, so there's going to be some upset housewives that don't get to see Mark Ruffalo on Ellen. I'm sure the show is going to be fine without him, though.
What if she just, like, came out and said, look, we were sitting there, we were watching a sporting event, and I was feeding them pretzels, because we know those three things, W, sporting events, and pretzels, they're pretty dangerous to him. So I was, I was low-key trying to knock him off for the good of the world here.
She just hands him a pretzel and watches him chew it. He's like, you ever try swallowing whole?
Just give him a Popeye's biscuit and nothing to drink. There, he'll choke. No problem. Yeah, it is kind of funny because, like, to me, if there's a picture of it, that's something that, like, 10, 15 years ago, that it ended up on, like, New Rules. That it ended up somewhere in Bill Maher's monologue or something. You know what I'm saying? Or when Dennis Miller had his show, you know, his when he... you know, flash a picture and make a funny comment. Mm-hmm. And now it's like, you know, how dare she sit with that person? Oh, there's like 10, maybe 11 of us who are really outraged about this. It's time for it to be a news story. Shut up. Go get a fucking hobby. And sits and watches sports with.
I don't know. Listen to this. From Kevin the Donkey on Twitter, whatever, who the fuck that is.
Liberals Kevin the Donkey?
Yes. Liberals have literally rehabilitated George Bush from the war criminal that killed over 1 million Iraqis based on lies to the man that passes out at Michelle Obama candy and hangs out with Ellen DeGeneres on weekends.
Congratulations. What's his name? Kevin the Donkey?
Kevin the Donkey.
Okay. Kevin the Donkey. It's assholes like you who we can go up and pat him on the back if Bush gets reelected. Congratulations.
Trump,
Trump gets reelected. Yes. Because this has nothing to do with fucking nothing. And you are just, you are turning so many people off with this bullshit that you think is like some sort of like, oh, I'm having an epiphany. I better get to Twitter and let the world know how I feel about it. Just shut the fuck up, dude. You're doing more harm than good. And if you can't see that, then you're a fucking idiot. And no one's got the heart to tell you. You're a fucking idiot. I do. You're an idiot. Shut the fuck up, dude. Let us do it. Stop letting people you hate rent so much fucking space in your goddamn brain.
Here's a headline from an opinion piece from NBC News. Ellen DeGeneres' tone-deaf defense of George Bush reveals the cost of acceptance. Cool. We live in such a neat time.
Good God. The 90s were so much better.
I know, right? And I can't believe
I'd ever say that.
I missed
the damn Cold War.
It was a lot simpler, wasn't it?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's not like these people are wrong about George Bush. I just don't give a shit about Ellen. So why would I care who she's friends with?
Who gives a fuck about two rich people hanging out watching a football game? Right. That's essentially what this is.
It's an entertainer with an ex-president.
By the way, do these people not get the irony of they're attacking Bush for, you know, crimes they believe he committed, yet they're sitting here posting using technology built by essentially slave labor? And I mean, how if you keep pulling back, we're all guilty.
Walmart.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? We're all, you, like I said, pull the camera back far enough, get a wide enough picture. We all have profit or comfort on the backs of somebody else.
I got three Apple devices in front of me. There's some Chinese blood on my hands.
Yeah, but it's a little more one-to-one with Bush.
Okay, well, if you want to do varying degrees, but I mean, just because we don't see who we're fucking over with the products that we get at the prices we get, that we can't, you know, we can't name them. It's not like it's adopt a kid for 25 cents a day and they send you a picture of the kid who built your iPhone. I mean, I just don't, like, seriously, people suck. The world sucks. People are going to get exploited. We you know, shit's not going to go the way you feel it should go all the time. That's just all there is to it. And I mean, seriously, is there bigger issues at stake? Is there more at stake and bigger issues to tackle coming up with what we are dealing with who's in the White House, shit that he's getting our country into?
I don't know. Who Ellen hangs out in the weekend is pretty big on the priority list in my world. I don't know about you.
Whatever.
Who do mid-tier celebrities from the 90s hang out with on the weekends? We must address this.
No, I mean, ultimately, everyone who tweeted about it and called her out, they feel good about themselves. They probably at least dislocated their shoulder trying to pat themselves on the back for doing, you know, a job well done. So that's all that matters, because it's all it really is. It's just pandering to other woke flakes who are going to go, oh, good job, golf clap for you. Yeah. Way to call them out. Hold their feet to the fire. Get a fucking hobby.
Choose the power and such.
Here's a thought experiment, though. What if it was Bill Maher?
Bill Maher's a comedian, and I would take it as what I would hope it would be a joke. If he got serious and went to fuck off about it, I'd be like, yeah, you're an idiot about this subject. Congratulations, you're an idiot about a lot of subjects, Bill Maher.
No. Maybe I wasn't clear. What if it was Bill Maher that was sitting at a football game with George Bush?
Then he would definitely be passing him pretzels. I wouldn't believe that he's sitting there just out of friendship. I'd be like, okay, what else is going on here? But if he was sitting there, whatever. Excuse me. Do we forget that Bill Maher is hated by the far left because he has people who are on the right on his show? He's hated because he gives them a platform, a rhetoric.
He's platforming them.
You know, and it's like, yeah. That's how this country was meant to work. We didn't build this country so one group of people who are a minority as far as their numbers go compared to the rest of the people in the country can tell us all how to fucking live, and we have to just agree with you and only talk to people you agree with.
Well, there's two huge places in Washington where you actually have to give the opposing viewpoint the floor. Like, it's part of the process.
I mean, isn't Bill Maher and Ann Coulter, and I can't be the only one who's ever picked up that they have kind of a very strange, at least to me, it appears to be strange, friendship.
They allegedly dated. Allegedly, he put in a tour at some point in the 90s.
I don't know if I buy that. I always thought Bill Maher was like, you know, the Robert De Niro type. You know, I thought he pretty much only dated black women. That was like an inside joke for a while, too. I remember every time he'd have Martin Short on, Martin Short would make some half-assed comment about it, and Bill Maher would laugh his ass off like it was the funniest thing he ever heard. I mean, and on top of that, if you're going to go white woman, Jesus Christ, could you go a more stereotypical white woman than Ann Coulter? Like, she has no flavor.
No ass.
Yeah, she is straight up just a glass of ice. There's nothing there.
Right, but I guess it's just a matter of principle. Like, people have watched Ellen's show for a long time. They like her. They feel like they know her a little bit or a lot. I don't know. And it turns out that she doesn't really have any principles. I mean,
I don't know how you call her unprincipled because she's friends with somebody. I mean, has she ever really been political outside of the fact that she wants, you know, the LGBT community to have the same rights as everybody else?
She's gay, and she came out at a time where it was very political to do so.
That's why I said, besides that, has she ever really been, like, extreme, at least vocally in the public, very political? Outside, like I said, outside of the LGBT, you know, issues.
I can't remember, but that's pretty major.
Yeah, but is being gay a political move, though? I mean, like,
no. Coming out at the time that she did, though, was you could say a political move.
That was also 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I wonder how old the donkey is.
But no,
like, I don't remember it, so it doesn't count.
In 2019, when political Hollywood figures come up, I get what Rich is saying. She's not on that list. She's not top of mind. There's not exactly any record of her going on any anti-Trump tirades here in the last few years or anything like that.
Yeah. You know,
I don't think she was in the George Bush doesn't care about black people camp, you know, back in the mid-2000s. Like, she just, it's for her, it's all about dancing and stupid, like, bullshit and whatever. Her talk show is the
TV. He was TV. About gay marriage, or against gay marriage, though. So
yeah, that's big part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he ran on an anti-gay marriage campaign.
Well, again, so all of your friends have to have the same political beliefs as you?
No.
No, but when somebody actively tries to disrupt your way of life, does that mean that you have to be friends with them?
What's this have to? Yeah. She's sticking a gun to her head saying, go sit in this skybox with Bush?
Yeah.
You know W's a good time. Come on. You know he'd be a good time.
As long as he's back on the sauce.
Right.
If I got to pick two presidents, former presidents, it's Bush off the wagon and Clinton for to pull the hose. Those are the two I want to party with.
That'd be a pretty sweet party right there.
Again, I don't care who Ellen hangs out with, and she's obviously free to hang out with whoever she wants to. But, you know, obviously there's a certain amount of money that makes all of this shit not matter.
And she's definitely got that.
And that's fine, too. You know, she has the freedom to express or not express herself however she wants to. I'm not judging that. I'm just saying, you know, I stick by my calling her unprincipled.
I think you might have stumbled upon the bigger issue that's being ignored because people are so busy, you know, trying to virtue signal that how horrible it is she's friends with someone they disagree with politically. It's the fact that these aren't two people who are on opposite ends of the political spectrum sitting together. They probably see it as these are two millionaires sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
We went through this with the Epstein shit. I mean, and it was like the group of people that hung out with him, it was like, how the fuck did all the, it's the most random collection of people to all be hanging out with him. Oh, what do they all have in common?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're millionaires. Oh, joke. I get it now. Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah, if I had, like, you know, half a billion in the bank, I probably wouldn't want to hang with poor people because they'd constantly be like, yo, man, let me hold 10. Like, no, man, get away from me. Stop begging. Seriously, shit. But once again, that gets lost in the, oh, look at this. They're on opposite ends of the political spectrum. And okay, maybe we're just too cynical. Is it possible that if they are friends and they're sitting there talking, that she, her simply being his friend, is showing him and humanizing someone who is gay to him, and he's like, well, maybe I was wrong about fucking gay marriage. I mean, why do we automatically assume that she's this horrible person who is unscrupulous because she's hanging with someone who whose politics we don't agree with? And right. So why don't we automatically assume that something good about her? Like, she's maybe trying to enlighten him.
Or maybe there was a party line he had to toe the whole time, and he really didn't give a fuck about gay marriage.
Well, there's that, too. I mean, but honestly,
it's not really justification, but I see your point. And certainly people can grow and change, and that's possible. But I don't think that we've seen any evidence of that. We haven't seen evidence of George Bush saying, I've seen the light on any given subject. We've just seen a lot more acceptance of him since he, in comparison to Trump, seems like a very sane and reasonable president.
Oh, and there's always this line of thinking.
Jimmy Carter.
Ready for this one, guys? There's always this one. Who cares? These are two people watching a football, two rich people hanging out, watching a football game. He's not president anymore. She dances on a talk show for a living.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't care because I'm not an Ellen fan or a George W. fan, but there are Ellen fans that do care.
Is it possible that she really thinks his shitty paintings are good? And she was like just hanging out with him because she's like, oh, I just love your artwork, W. I just had to tell you and wanted to hang out with you.
I guess anything's possible.
Maybe she's a football fan. Maybe she likes the Cowboys. Maybe she just wanted to meet Jerry Jones. She's like, hey, man, you're richer than me. I got an investment idea for you. Who the fuck knows? At this point, he's a private citizen. It's stories like this, which is just more and more. Why I pay less and less attention every day?
What'd you call it?
The exhausted majority.
Yeah. It's like, oh, stop with your bullshit.
Two rich people hung out together. Let's judge them and go.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Unregimented.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
Unregimented.
Well, I kind of find myself agreeing with a sentiment that's been expressed on another podcast quite a bit in the last 6 months or year or so. Like, whenever the headline is, the internet is outraged. This person goes, no, they're not. People are outraged. No, they're not. No, a few idiots on Twitter are outraged, and you're trying to get clicks, and you're trying to get people pissed off about these few people who ultimately affect nobody and nothing. Stop it. And I'm kind of getting to that point. I'm like, really, really? Like, you know, the headlines, people walking out of the Joker movie. Really? It's got a 90%. Audience rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I'm going to say, let's just go ahead and give that 10% who didn't give it, you know, a fresh rating. Let's say they all walked out. Is that enough for like a huge news story? Is that enough for, you know, the headlines be, oh, masses of people leave Joker because they can't handle. No, it's not. And we know it isn't 10% of the people who didn't give it a good rating. Not all those people walked out. And by the way, I saw the damn movie. If you walked out of that movie, but yet you sat through Taxi Driver, then something's fucking wrong with you. Right? It's not all that violent. It's not all that disturbing.
The media wanted so much for something to happen on opening day. They reported on two guys getting kicked out for talking loud and smoking.
Okay, well, smoking, yeah. Okay, what do you think this is, 1982? In Waco, Texas? You can't smoke in a movie theater.
Yeah, of course they got kicked out, but why is that a story?
Exactly. Were they smoking because they were like, hey, we're watching this movie about this guy who goes nuts and kind of just starts saying, fuck the world. Let's light up. Here, we're smoking because of the Joker movie. Oh, you know, come on. You're assholes. Yeah, how many... It's like the people who, when I went to go see the Star Wars Episode One, the first showing the morning it premiered, who were swinging lightsabers around and shit, and the manager came in and said, okay, No more swinging lightsabers around. And they kept doing it. And finally, he was like, okay, get the fuck out. It wasn't reported that, you know, like, the new Star Wars movie made people break into lightsaber fights in the aisles at movie theaters. Are your children safe? You know, it's just ridiculous. And I, like I said, if there are movies that are considered absolute stone cold classics, great pieces of art that this movie pays, you know, homage to, that are way more violent, way more disturbing, and I don't hear the bitching and complaining about them. You know, no one's worried that someone's going to, you know, well, I guess you don't rent movies anymore. I guess stream a movie. You're going to stream Taxi Driver and then, you know, go all Travis Bickle.
A Clockwork Orange.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it 100%. The singing in the rain rape scene in A Clockwork Orange, it on its own, just that scene on its own is more disturbing than anything in Joker.
Well, I thought that the prejudging of the movie and the people who were excited about the movie was very interesting. Because if we look back to, was it only last year when Captain Marvel came out?
Yes.
Or was it this year?
It was earlier this year.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was this year?
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's go back earlier. Let's roll the clock back earlier this year. Marvel is about to release Captain Marvel, right? And there's a lot of people excited for this movie because of representation. You know, they want to see a female hero, a really powerful one, be the lead.
She looks just like me.
be the lead in a superhero movie, right? And there was a lot of criticism against that movie saying, well, Marvel's only doing this to appeal to people who want to see a strong female lead. And all these people that are excited about going to see this movie are stupid because they're excited for the wrong reasons. They don't care about whether the movie is good or not. They just care about whether it has a female lead in it, right? Now fast forward to the Joker release and what happens going up to that. Same people that were excited for Captain Marvel and what it represented are now saying, well, we only are doing this movie to appeal to incels. This is, the Joker is representing incels acting out violently. And that's the only reason why you guys want to go see this movie. So you're going to see it for the wrong reasons. Not whether it's good or not, because you think it represents something about you. It's the same argument made against both movies, just from different sides.
What both these movies are, to me, are exactly, I mean, to the people you're describing, they're Rorschach tests. You see what you want to see.
Right.
And and it's just proving that people are just absolute shit a lot of times. Because they automatically assume the worst when there's no reason to. To me, Captain Marvel's biggest sin is, and yes, I've seen Brie Larson in other things where she's not acted like a wooden statue through the movie. All right. I know she's capable of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that she's playing a military pilot, and you know, most military pilots aren't Jamie Foxx in that shitty movie that came out in the 2000s where he's like, yeah, dog, let's get it. You know, I mean, I understand that. They're not. Right,
she was going for a stoic type of presence.
Exactly. Yeah,
she was a reserved character. I don't think she nailed it, honestly. No,
she overdid it. She overdid her stoicism. I mean, totally, if that's a word.
You know, that's
absolutely.
To me, that's that movie's biggest sin. Not that Marvel is trying to get girls to come in and see, or Disney's trying to get girls to come and see Marvel movies. Oh, fucking course they are. Disney is trying to get your grandmother to come see Marvel movies.
Well, every time that Marvel talks about, you know, what lead up to the Black Panther movie, lead up to the Captain Marvel movie, now it's going to be all about the Thor movie coming up with Jane Foster as the lead. They act like Marvel is making these movies instead of making movies with white male lead characters. It's not replacing anything. They're just trying to broaden their audience.
I still, man. Like, the thing that Black Panther bothered me about Black Panther is this is the first black superhero movie. Dolomite's got something to say about that, you rat soup eating honky motherfucker. All right, I'm just gonna let you know right now.
Like, Dolomite, Shaft, and Blade are all knocking at the door. What?
We gotta talk. Every superhero needs theme music. Yeah, everybody from I'm going to get the whole cast of I'm going to get you suckers at the door. But no, I, like.
You want to take the window or do you want to take the stairs? We take the stairs. We always take the stairs.
I just, you know, especially now after hearing your kind of synopsis of the movie, you briefed us before the podcast of the general tone of it. And I'm really confused as to why this sparked such a feverish debate over this movie.
I mean, okay, maybe I'm reading into it in a way that is, I mean, we all see things through our own life experiences. That's the prism we see things through.
Yeah.
To me, this movie, though, is more of a critique, because it's set in the early 80s. It's more of a critique of the defunding of the mental health system and, you know, the type of Reaganomics run amok, you know, at the beginning of the Reaganomics starting to run amok, than anything else. There's nothing about incels that I picked up from this movie. And I, believe me, I was looking for it because I was like, I'm watching it and I'm going, who the fuck watched this and thought that this is somehow like glamorizing and playing to incels?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't get damning the art because people that you don't like have made a connection to it. Like, for example, The Punisher. You know, first of all, I see The Punisher logo all over the place, and I bet 10% of those people who are displaying it on their shirts or cars or whatever have actually read a Punisher comic or give a shit about the character at all. They just like what they think he represents. But, you know, there was a cop recently that got fired for having the Punisher logo on his gear.
Well, yeah. And I'm sorry that you're missing the point. I don't want my cops to bottle themselves after the Punisher.
No, right.
Absolutely not.
No, right. But that doesn't mean that the Punisher is bad. It's bad art. It shouldn't be made. That are wrong for going to see it. Right. So I can understand why maybe some people who maybe self-identify as incel would go, oh, hey, here's a movie that I might be able to identify with more so than certainly Captain America or Batman even. But to then go, well, so if this group of people like this movie or this character, that means that character, that essentially that piece of art is bad.
I like this band, but because they have meathead fans who I don't like, I'm going to hate this band because the wrong people like them now.
Dropkick Murphys.
Yeah. Right. Or as Sloan says, Consolidated. I think Consolidated's okay. It's not the band I hate. It's their fans.
Right.
You know, and a lot of criticism I've read, it boils down to two things. One is, apparently, there is a lot of movie critics who despise Todd Phillips for whatever reason. Whether they think it's just his humor's lowbrow, they think he makes bro comedies because of old school, you know, whatever. And then there's the critics who are attacking the movie because
Todd Phillips is kind of representing the old guard of Hollywood, right? He was the last guy that was still making raunchy comedies that people wanted to see, like Lampoon style, that used to get millions of people to go out and watch him and quote him forever.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, and I'm gonna be brutally honest with you. Outside of Old School and Road Trip, which I think were his first,
Road Trip was pretty good. That was a decently funny movie.
I mean, but it's what it was. It's a goofy ass funny popcorn movie. It's not
exactly what was on the tin.
Yes.
Yeah.
You, You did as advertised. Congratulations. Yeah. You know, you're not, there's no subtext there trying to be deep, you know. And I think that is his sin in a lot of these, you know, bougie ass Diddy committee movie critics, you know, like, oh, he makes such vulgar comedy. Okay, great, wonderful. Then you don't have that type of sense of humor. We can agree to disagree and move on. Then there's the critics who seem to be attacking this movie because they go, wait a minute, this is about another disenfranchised white male who feels that he's being ignored by the world and he hasn't earned that feeling. Okay, well, guess what,
yeah, folks? It is.
Everybody, okay, who is disenfranchised, how far do we want to pull back the camera? And really, shouldn't the conversation be, now, why does he feel disenfranchised? Was it because he was lied to coming up? He was told a bunch of bullshit? You can do anything you want. You can be anything you want. You're special. You're unique. And then when he got older and life started kicking him in the teeth, he found out, oh, I was lied to all my life. Now he's pissed off. How is that different? Right. If this was a movie about a kid who grew up in the hood and was told his entire life he ain't going to be shit, and he accepted that at a young age, and so he did what he had to do to make the ends meet, this would be, you know, that'd be Boys in the Hood Part 2, and that's a masterpiece. Why? It's the same type of the anger that a disenfranchised person's feeling is coming from the same spot. I've been told, or I've realized, I ain't shit in the grand scheme of things. And the only way to get what I fucking want is to go out and take it. Yet, these are the type of critics who would look at one of these, you know, gangster movies and look at Nino Brown and go, well, you know, he's a self-made businessman and you know, I don't agree with his tactics and blah, 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 blah. But if it was a white guy that played that role, oh, just another entitled white, really, really? You're injecting your own prejudice into this, okay? Once again, this is a Rorschach test. It doesn't mean shit. It just means what you want it to mean. You want it to mean this, you're going to inject this into this. You're going to force that round peg or that round block through a fucking square hole. And that's what what irritates me is, fine, if that's your take, have that take, write an op-ed about it, but they're not even addressing any parts of the movie. Mm-hmm. They're just attacking that one part and holding that up as, don't see this because of that. Well, okay, what about other things? What about the cinematography? What about the script? What about the job of acting that Joaquin Phoenix does? None of that's addressed in the majority of those type of critiques of this movie. And granted, once again, they're in the minority. And I mean, those are people, obviously, who have an axe to grind.
The critics?
Yeah.
That are anti this movie?
Well, the critics that are like, you know, oh, well, this is horrible examples to white men and gives them an excuse to be angry at the world and blah, blah, blah.
But isn't that what great art is supposed to be able to do, is to put us in the place of another person? And sometimes that person is not a good person. You know, we've really come to love, especially lately, these anti-heroes, you know, the Walter White and Tony Soprano and the likes, and these people that we feel like they do bad things, they do evil things sometimes, but they do them for the right reasons. But this isn't that story. And sometimes we need to hear that other story of, this is a bad person that does bad things for bad reasons. And it's the blurring of the line between understanding and sympathy, to say that I understand how this character gets to this point where it seems okay to hurt other people, to kill other people. But that doesn't necessarily mean I sympathize with that person or even think that they are right.
Well, I mean, you know, spoiler territory, if you don't want to hear it, just, you know, if you're listening, you've been warned. His first murder.
Yeah, let's just say from here on out, we're going to talk plot points.
Yeah.
Right? If somebody hasn't seen it yet, they can just jump out now.
His first murder, he's on a subway train, mm-hmm. and one of his the characters, you know, Arthur's characteristics in the movie is this uncontrollable laugh at the most inappropriate of times. I'm sure there's right, a technical term for it.
He has Tourette's, basically.
Yeah, yeah, kind of, yeah.
And, Tourette's can appear in a number of different ways, and laughing is an acceptable form.
And three, like, Wall Street, slick back, self-styled masters of the universe, Gordon Gekko type guys are picking on a homeless person. And he's, you know, a few seats down, he starts, you know, laughing. And they're like, what's so funny? And he just keeps laughing. And they eventually, you get the sense.
He's probably nervous and it's probably making him laugh more.
Yeah, you get, right? But you get the sense very, I mean, it is, there's no subtext in this scene. It is right there in your face that if he hadn't have been laughing, they were going to take this crime to the next level. And who knows how far they would take it with this homeless person. Mm-hmm. Instead, they turn their focus to him and they come down to him and they're, you know, and he's in his not his Joker outfit, but his clown outfit, because that's his day job. He's a clown. Right. And he had been jumped at one point in the movie. One of his fellow clowns gave him a gun for protection. So he had this gun on him during the scene. Well, they come over and they take, you know, his clown head off and his nose off and are starting to mess with him. And then they start beating him, get him on the ground and start kicking him. And he just comes up and blows him away. Now, granted, that's a little bit of overkill for getting your ass kicked. But, you know, is that unjustified? You know what I'm saying? Like, he the first murders he commits, you can argue were in self-defense and also defending someone else. But that wasn't, you know, it wasn't his intent, but that was the impact of the situation. They ended up leaving the homeless person alone.
Right.
And I think because it's morally ambiguous right there.
Yeah.
I think that throws a lot of critics who are very black and white, people who, not necessarily critics, a type of critic who sees the world very black and white, right and wrong, you're with me or against me, they don't know how to deal with that ambiguity. And so they just go, well, this is a horrible movie. This is glorifying violence and this and this. And it's like, that's the point. It's supposed to make you uncomfortable. It's supposed to make you go, wait a minute, am I agreeing with this or not? Oh, shit, you watched a piece of art that made you think. I'm sorry. Right. Should we pump out some more fucking Disney cartoons for your simple ass? Is that what you want to see?
Some people just aren't willing to be taken down. I mean, that it's. I know we keep going back to Taxi Driver, and there's obvious correlations there, but I can only speak from that movie, not having seen the Joker, but the story of what happens to Travis Bickle is told in little steps, and each step taken individually, I mean, as you get to the end, it sounds insane. Like, no, I couldn't imagine doing that. Why would I get involved in any of that shit? But if you actually follow the character on each step that he takes, it feels very natural. Well, in order to go along with that story and go along with that ride, you have to tap into the darker parts of your psyche to identify what's going on there. And some people just aren't comfortable with that. But this idea that can tap into something in you and bring out this darkness in you. No, that darkness is in all of us. And it's kind of healthy to just acknowledge it at times. And this is one of the healthier ways to do it, is by watching art like this, you know, to almost get that out of your system. It's only the sick person that's already primed for violent behavior that could use this as a trigger. In which case, like we've said about any number of violent things that have happened in this country recently, the trigger could be anything. So absolutely, what if it was a video game or a movie or a song that you heard or something that you read, something that somebody said to you? It could have been anything. And it's the same leap in logic to blame the art in those cases as in this Joker movie.
Well, you know, reading one review of, and it, this is, I hesitate to call this person a critic. I just think they're one of those people that are trying to get some sort of take that they put on the internet to go viral, to get their name out there. So they're not a
more troll than critic.
I guess. But I'm sure they, in their mind, they're a self-styled film critic. You know, they're just, my opinion is just as valid as anybody who you see on TV or read the newspaper type of shit. So whatever. But they were, you know, in a comparison, in comparing this movie to Taxi Driver, they brought up the scene where Robert De Niro takes Sybil Shepherd out on a date and takes her to a porn theater. And they're talking about how this is, you know, prime example of toxic masculinity and the male gaze. And I'm like, wait, what? No, you missed the point of that fucking scene. He's so fucking socially inept, he doesn't understand why she's horrified that he took her to a fucking porn movie. He doesn't get it. He's not like, here, I'm going to force you to watch porn, bask in my masculinity, let me lord it over you, let me subjugate and oppress you with it. And that was this take. And I'm like, how do you, when you jump to that type of shit, what you're telling me is you didn't even pay attention to the movie. We went into the movie with an agenda, and you're bending the movie to fit your agenda one way or the other, whether positively or negatively. You're not taking the movie for what it is. And I think that's where a lot of the criticism and the hand-wringing and pearl-clutching has come from. And sadly, just like on Twitter, you get 10 people to start a hashtag, and you get 10 more to share it, and 10 more share it, and next thing you know, the news is reporting, the internet is outraged. Not really. A handful of assholes are outraged. The internet doesn't give a fuck for the most part. You know, most people.
And the internet is like almost everyone these days. So if almost everyone was outraged, then we wouldn't have seen over $100 million in the first weekend and 90% positive viewer reviews.
Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of the reviews that are like, they're not positive, but they're not flat out negative.
It was 69 from the critics the last time I checked on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
so it was not a bad movie, but not a classic.
And a lot of the reviews basically boiled down to like, this movie left me.
Well, those are usually conflicted the best feelings. Movies.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I mean, I like those type of movies. I don't need big explosions, shit go boom. Okay, okay. Let me shove this popcorn in my mouth. I'm great for 2 hours. Those movies are good for what they are. But I also like movies that go, if you want to think about them, they're there to. There's plenty to dig through, you know. But if you don't, and you just want to take it on at face value, on a very surface level, I guess you could with this movie. I mean, you're doing yourself a disservice, because in a lot of ways, this movie is kind of doing what the DC movies have been trying to do, but I don't think it was setting out to do that. Like, the DC movies have, you know, in as opposed to the Marvel movies, have tried to be dark and realistic.
Right.
But there's always that moment that takes you out of it.
They wanted to branch off of the Christopher Nolan success. They thought that was their brand. Nolan and Watchmen.
Even Christopher Nolan's, like, Batman, like, when he's, where is he? You know, it's like, oh, God. You know, it takes you out of it. I never had a moment where I was taken out of the movie like that with this. This felt totally grounded in reality. In fact, if there had been a scene where, yes, Thomas Wayne, Batman's father, and a young Bruce Wayne is in this movie, but if there had been a scene where Batman just bounds into the, you know, into the shot, and he's like, you know, get over here, Joker, I'd have been like, oh, okay, they just ruined this movie. Because that's not what this movie's about. This movie's a character study. This is how it really feels to me. This is a movie that it feels like, if you took the Joker element out, you wouldn't have the built-in audience that you have, right. But it would be a very highly considered, like, indie art house movie. That's the best way I can describe it, because there are a lot of elements of unreliable narrator. You're not exactly sure if what you're seeing is reality or what's going on in his head. I mean, there at certain points it's made crystal clear that he's suffering delusions, you know.
But sounds, I mean, a lot like Nightcrawler, the way you describe it.
Yeah, kind of. And Nightcrawler didn't
do, great movie.
It didn't do this type of business because it didn't have the Joker hook to get the, you know, the average.
You should have made it about Nightcrawler, the X-Men. That's what they went wrong.
Teleporting, bamfing from one car accident to another, getting footage of it. My God, I got the footage, you know. Oh, but no, I will say this: it's not a movie that I think is going to take non-comic book people and turn them into comic book people. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a movie that, if you're not into the comic book movies or you kind of got the fatigue, you don't have to worry about it being a comic book movie. You don't need to know all this backstory and everything. It stands on its own, and like I said, as a character study. And by the way, some of the critiques I've heard, which I can understand from certain groups of people who went in maybe expecting an action movie, you're going to be bored if you're expecting, you know, oh shit, go boom for 2 hours. You're going to be very bored. I'm just going to let you know that.
Well, the filtering out for outrage on my Twitter feed, I follow a lot of comics fans, creators on Twitter, and the response was kind of split between this is like a brilliant movie to I have no interest in seeing a Joker origin movie. There were quite a few people that it wasn't like a principled stance or, you know, I'm against this movie or I don't think people should see it. Just I got no interest in this as a like another Joker origin story.
And I understand that, because if you're not a comic book fan, a lot of people think, I saw the Tim Burton movie, I know how the Joker comes to be.
But these are comic book fans that were saying this. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
I don't know. It just struck me as weird, because I think Joker is one of those rare characters that is super malleable, that, you know, the idea of even just having multiple origins, or like they've explored recently in the comics, having multiple Jokers, I think works really well for that character. I mean, sure, this being the big movie that it is, and, you know, coming out at a time where there's a lot of these types of superhero movies that are coming out and getting a lot of attention, I'm sure that this will, for a lot of people, be cemented in their heads as the Joker origin story. But to me, it's just another Joker origin story, and it could be anything.
Well, that's also the part of the Joker's character. You never really know his origin story. There's so many different ones.
Right. The ambiguity in his character makes him he's the every thug. He's the every minion. The common criminal. Every madman can find a piece of themselves in the Joker. Because he's kind of more like a boogeyman than an actual supervillain, right? Like, Lex Luthor is a very concrete, real, I own things, I want to own more things, I'll destroy this whole fucking world if you don't let me, type of thing. He has a very, at the end of the day, very, realistic kind of drives and goals and attitude, where the Joker is almost more like Venom. He could just be totally alien.
I think that's why Heath Ledger's take on the Joker struck such a chord with a lot of people, because he was just pure chaos incarnate. He was chaos in human form. He didn't want money. He didn't want, you know, he burns the money, you know, that he has in front of a gangster who's like, what are you doing? Like, are you serious? Look at how much fucking money that is. It's literally a pyramid of money.
And that's why that's what I mean by him being a boogeyman, because he taps into primal fears. Joker is the insane things that happen all the time that we cannot explain. You know, and I think that's why people feel like this is a dangerous story, because, you know, Joker represents the mass shooter in America. You know, that chaotic element, like, that you just can't explain. At least you know why Lex Luthor is killing you. He's already told you his master plan before he did so.
Well, according to the Superman movies, it's because he's got a some sort of land plot, and he wants to be a land baron.
Right.
it's all about land real estate. In the movie. Yeah, it's all real estate with him in the Superman movies.
Yeah. or kingpin. You know why these guys, if you get in their way and they're after you, you pretty much know why. You either fucked with their money or their pride in some way or another. Joker just, shows up randomly.
Unregimented.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
Unregimented.
Well, one thing I do think is amusing is that there's a rumor going around. A rumor. I don't know how true it is. I haven't really had a chance to dig into it. I just saw this a few hours before we started recording. That Martin Scorsese was actually somehow behind the scenes attached to this movie.
Yeah.
And then walked away for whatever reason. And, like I said, the brief little blips of articles that I've seen about it really hasn't said why he did walk away, except, necessarily. But I just think it's funny because once again, it's kind of like with the show, The Boys. I've Red Letter Media, they review the comic book movies, but neither of them are really comic book guys. And so they kind of take them on a case by case basis. They're like, I like this movie, but it has nothing to do with because I'm a fan of the comic book. I just like it because of, ABC, whatever.
They're judging it more on traditional filmmaking principles rather than I really like this character that is in this movie.
Exactly. Yeah. And they describe this and The Boys as essentially comic book movie and television series for people who aren't into comic book movies and television series.
Yeah.
And obviously we've gotten to the point where there is one, people are going to go see it because, if they're comic book fans, because it's the Joker. But there's also people who are going to go see it once they hear that it's not like, it's an almost an anti-comic book movie. There's now starting to be an audience for that. And I think it's not a coincidence that The Boys and this movie come out in the same time period and, have been basically given thumbs up by a lot of critics who give usually lukewarm reviews to the usual Marvel and DC films. Yeah. So,
I'd lump Brightburn in there with all that.
See, now that's an interesting. See, I haven't seen that yet, but that was from everything I saw, the promotional material I saw, they were pushing that as a horror movie.
It is a horror movie.
Okay, and then someone who I really respect and trust their opinion said it almost feels like a horror movie mixed with a comic book origin story.
Yes. That is what it feels like. It was like there was some really old school style horror in that movie. One little spoiler, there's a chick who pulls a piece of glass out of her eye.
Yeah.
So, and they show it, right? So it's like old school
in
that style.
Suspiria type shit, Dementia 13 type shit, like the old Italian horror movies where they actually show you everything instead of implying it. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't go into it thinking like this is going to be a Superman movie. I mean, it has similarities, yes, like very blaring similarities. But I was entertained. But going back really quick on the Joker, I do know, I read that Jared Leto feels very alienated by this Joker.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he was upset that he didn't get the part. He was mad that Warner Brothers didn't.
Well, you've seen it, Rich. Do you think Leto could have pulled it off?
No, right.
I'm imagining. Like he even finished the question.
Right. No. I wouldn't expect it either.
And no diss. Like Jared Leto he can act, but Joaquin Phoenix he exists on a higher plane.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. He's got a little more evil to him than Jared Leto.
I didn't hate his portrayal in Suicide Squad.
I didn't either. That movie just felt rushed to me. Like the facts came very rushed. I don't know.
Yeah.
It was just a lot going on, which I'm fine with, but it just seemed a little bit too rushed.
I watched it. I know that. nothing stuck with me, really. His performance didn't stick with me, didn't stand out to me. I remember thinking, like, when hearing the stories of him trying to go method, I was like, dude, just stop. We get it. You know what I'm saying? You're the first person to play the Joker in this high profile of a movie since Heath Ledger. But stop sending used condoms to Will Smith. You know what I'm saying? Trying to, like, I'm so method and artsy and fartsy. Be more fartsy and less artsy. How about that? You know, just I don't know. No, he could. To answer your question, he couldn't do this. Yes, exactly. He couldn't do this movie.
A lot of this is just a Hollywood dick measuring contest, because I don't think that we would have any of these high profile people playing actors playing the Joker if it didn't start with Jack Nicholson. You know, he's considered, you know, a high water mark, especially for playing a certain type of character. And so now everyone's got something to prove by stepping into that role. I mean, I think it's been better for the art. It's the type of competition that, you know, the healthy type that makes things better. But,
Well, if they'd have taken the Joker from the Suicide Squad and put him in this movie, the fact that he has a tattoo across his fucking forehead that says damaged, right, it'd have been a little too on the nose from the get-go. You know what I'm saying?
Well, that would have been the origin story. At the end, he would be tattooing damaged on his forehead.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
But I don't know if there's that level of subtlety in Mr. Jared Leto. So I'm just saying, I can see him like, come on, Todd, let me have it right across the forehead. What's the big deal? I don't understand. I did it in Suicide Squad. Everyone loved it. It's like, no one's got the heart to tell you that not everyone loved your portrayal. Sorry, dude.
I find it interesting. You brought up the comment about Scorsese and, you know, saying walked away from is a very specific phrase, right?
Well, he was sent to co-produce it.
At a certain point he walked away from this movie, but what I don't know what his total involvement was with it in the first place. I mean, I don't, from my knowledge, this is the first time that he's producing a movie that's being directed by Todd Phillips, and this is also a guy who traditionally hasn't done movies like this. He's, you know, he's done more like what you were talking about, the road trip and comedies like that.
Well, I'm doing some on the fly show prep, which is recommended for all the would-be podcasters out there. Always do your show prep on the fly. And it apparently appears that one of the major bones of contention between Phillips and Scorsese was really pushing for Leonardo DiCaprio to be cast as the Joker. And if you know anything about Scorsese, once he finds actors he likes, he works with them constantly. Yeah. I mean, that's he's one of those type directors. And Phillips was like, I've never seen anyone but Joaquin Phoenix in this role. So that might have been why he was like, okay, we just have different visions of where this movie's going to go. Have a nice one.
Could be.
I mean, like I said, this is all speculation.
Could be he was never that interested in it in the first place.
Yeah.
He hung out on set and then went, oh, this Todd Phillips guy's got it. I'm going to go get my dick sucked on a beach somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Leonardo is the Joker in this movie? No way. No.
Not in any movie. I can't see him. Well, you know, like, I've been surprised before, and, you know, it's not a knock on Leonardo's talents. Just, he's too pretty. Like, how do you take Leonardo DiCaprio and put him in a situation where he's ostracized from society? Right? That's the thing. Like, the first random woman that wants to sleep with him, he's like, my problems are just in the background now. It doesn't even matter.
The whole movie is he becomes the Joker because he refuses to check his beauty privilege. He's like, no, I don't accept that I'm beautiful. And I won a genetic lottery, so I must become a criminal mastermind.
Yeah, they'd have to monster him up for a role like that.
Well, to be fair, though, I did have a friend who, after Batman Begins had came out, and they announced The Dark Knight was coming out, and they said Heath Ledger was playing the Joker. He goes, Heath Ledger, wasn't he in that butt-fucking cowboy movie? And I was like, well... That's one way to describe it.
Well, yes.
Yeah. Hey, guess what? All cowboy movies are about butt fucking. It's just usually subtext. But, and yes, yeah. Top Gun is a cowboy movie. It's just with airplanes.
But yeah, it was. I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, I don't know if that's going to work, man. I can't see him as the Joker. And of course, it came out, and I was like, so what'd you think about the actor who played in the fucking cowboy movie who played the Joker? He's like, oh, that dude was great, man. Seriously, I didn't even think about butt fucking the whole time I was watching him as Joker. So, I mean, there's sometimes
it sounds know, like that qualifies as a fresh review, by the way.
Yeah. Here's a thumbs up. No butt fucking was thought of while watching this movie.
It was over 69%.
Yeah. Oh man. So yeah, I'll say this: if you're into darker character studies type movies, this is a movie you should enjoy. Don't let the fact that he is a comic book character turn you off from it, because it's not done. It's even more realistic than, you know, like. Well, it's funny how quickly shit changes. When I was a kid and I went and saw Batman in 89, my dad and I went and saw it the day it came out, and we left the theater and we were like, oh my God, it was so dark. They'll never make a darker comic book movie than that. And then, you know, you see Batman Begins, and you're like, oh, that's it. Comic book movies can't get any more darker and realistic and gritty than that. And now this comes out and I'm like, this makes the Nolan Batman movies kind of look like Marvel movies. It really does. just throwing that out there.
Even if I don't like the Joker movie, I still like the fact that it exists, because this is further proof that people are starting to understand that comic book and superhero are not synonymous terms. You know, the superhero stuff is just skimming the surface of it. There's so many different ways that you can tell stories, and you know, all the same way we have TV shows and movies about all different types of subjects and all different types of genres, all that exists within comics too.
I'm just going to say this, and it's going to come off as, well, it may come off as like, get off my lawn. I'm just glad that they're starting to make movies for adults in this genre. I mean, yes, we've had, you know, the Deadpool movies, but those were, to me, those were, they were very self-aware that, you know, we're making an ultra-violent, right, over-the-top comedy / superhero movie. But the Logan movie was close to this.
Yeah.
But I'm just glad that, like, yes, by the way, don't be the asshole who brings your six-year-old to this movie. Because, one, that kid is going to be bored shitless.
Are they prepping us up for a Lobo movie, you think?
You know, Aaron's been saying that for a while.
Lobo's on Krypton, the sci-fi show, which got canceled after two seasons, so no more Lobo.
But
a feature? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing. It's, don't make the mistake, and I'm not saying that you are, but don't make the mistake in thinking that these characters had to get to the screen before they could be elevated to this level. Again, I haven't seen the Joker movie, but I guarantee you there's nothing in that movie that hasn't been covered in comic books in some sort of form, right? It's not, the fallacy is thinking that comic books are a limited form. You can only tell a certain type of story, and that putting these characters on the big screen allows us to do more with them and tell the more adult stories, because adults are going to go see the movies. I mean, I don't even have to use recent examples. Killing Joke is a well-known masterpiece. It's all about the Joker, and I guarantee you there's nothing more fucked up that happens in the Joker than in that.
Yeah, oh yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, for people who aren't into, you know, comic books, I think they tend to think all comic books are somewhere between the Marvel movies and the 60s Batman series.
Right.
You know, and that's the world they exist
in. Either melodramatic or campy.
Yeah. And I mean, there's comic books out there that, you know, I've had, as a kid, I had a hard time getting into, but as an adult, I've went back and looked at, and I'm like, oh, I get it now. And I had to understand that, you know, sometimes something isn't created for everybody to get automatically. Sometimes you're going to need a little life experience. You're going to need to have, you know, some dirt on you and go, oh, okay, I get this. You know, I was still wanting to see, like, you know, come on, where's the big fight scenes and the cool costumes and stuff? I wasn't getting into the minutia and digging into the ground, getting to the roots of what a lot of, like, good comics get to. Mm-hmm. Watchmen is one, the one that just off the top of my head comes to mind immediately. You know, I remember attempting to read that as a kid, 9-10 year old kid, going, yeah, I don't get this. Why isn't Batman in this?
Yeah,
but why isn't Superman?
It wasn't written for you, not at that age.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. It was, and you know, my dad didn't. He absolutely didn't get it. He was like, I don't know. It's just not my thing. But he was also one of the very first people I ever met who was really into, like, graphic novels that weren't, you know, superhero in costumes graphic novels, you know. And,
well, there's no judgment either way, you know. It's, if all you want from comics is punching and superheroes, that's fine. I'm not judging, you know. It's like, I like watching a Fast and Furious movie every once in a while.
I think I've still seen only one of those. There's like 10 of them, isn't there, at this point? There's like offshoots of that movie with,
it's all the same movie. The plot around it just changes.
That's how I feel about the Transformers movies. I couldn't tell you which one's which unless I saw the beginning of the movie and the title. I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Shia LaBeouf's not in this one, so
they all blend together into one movie in my head, except for Bumblebee, which is actually an exceptional movie.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that, and that's the one I haven't seen. All right, well, anything else?
Thumbs up for Joker, then? Wait, I would just last question on it. Yeah, if I haven't had sex in a couple of years, should I go see the movie? I don't identify with incels, but I, you know, maybe I'm on the precipice. Maybe I'm primed for this, and that's going to tip me over.
I would say, if you were like angry about not having sex, seeing Joaquin Phoenix contort his body in some like almost Cronenberg body horror type shit at some points in the film, probably not going to make you want to go out and have sex. Right. Probably not. Sex will leave your brain rather quickly. If you start thinking like, wow, I need to have sex after seeing that scene, I worry about you more than if...
this is more the movie that you could buy on DVD and keep like a cold shower. Like
it's
feeling kind of pent up. You can just go, oh yeah.
Yeah, okay, let me put it to you this way. How anyone could watch this movie and somehow take that this is pumping up the incels, like it's speaking to them, it's a dog whistle to them or something. If this is a dog whistle to incels, then Requiem for a Dream makes you want to go out and shoot heroin.
Yeah.
And I took the exact opposite of that from fucking that movie. I don't know anyone who's watching that movie and been like, I want to go be a fucking junkie now. That looks fun.
Say what you will about Leto's Joker, but that Joker fucks. I don't know about what. Does Joaquin Phoenix Joker fuck?
He has delusions, but he never really goes all the way.
Oh, sounds like an incel to me.
I don't. Are you an incel if there's like some creepy, like mom son shit going on?
No, that's incest.
Yeah, that's like. Oh, and by the way, I will say this. That is also something that, like, I am surprised didn't get brought up because this movie is not a, if you need a movie to tell you something flat out, like this, that you need a character that's going to come out and just spill exposition for you to get a movie, this is not your movie. Don't even bother. There's a lot of creepy insinuation about him and his mother's relationship, his mother keeping him drugged up, like almost Munchausen by proxy type situation. And because, I mean, he's on like, they state this, he's going to a therapist at the beginning of the movie, and he's on like 7 different medications. And then they cut the funding, and his therapist is like, you know, I'm not going to be able to see you anymore. There's no funding. They don't give a shit about mental health. Like, his therapist basically is at the end of her rope, and she just spills, and she goes, they just don't give a shit about people like you. I don't know what to say. And he goes, this world is really full of, it's just, it's full of shitty people, isn't it? It's just a shit world, isn't it? And she goes, yes. And I'm like, that's the therapist I need. That's the bitch that's going to tell me the truth. You know what I'm saying? The therapist?
Yeah.
Stop by our gun shop on the way out, sir.
Was it what?
Was it Harleen?
No. No. Arkham was in it. Arkham Asylum was in it. And that's where he was going to, and then eventually ends up in. But yeah, it's thumbs up. But I mean, like I said, if you're going in expecting the usual superhero movie, you can't go in with that expectation. And if you don't have the patience for, you know, a movie that dictates the pace to you instead of catering to your, you know, ADD mentality, this isn't a movie for you. I mean, you sit down and you watch this movie, and the movie has its way with you, I guess is the best way to put it. Like, you don't, it's not made for, okay, every 2 minutes there's got to be an explosion, a revelation, etc., etc.
All right.
Yeah.
Hey, I'll just mention, if you aren't on that Wu-Tang series, get on it. Shit is good.
Now, is that on?
Is it on Hulu?
It's on Hulu. So are they releasing that like once a week?
Episodes comes out on Wednesdays.
Okay. I thought Hulu was one that did that.
They're up to episode 8.
Okay.
Woo Wednesdays. It's popular in our house.
Well, my question is it true? Is Wu-Tang for the children?
No.
No.
Okay, well. No. So Old Dirty Bastard, someone named Old Dirty Bastard lied to me? Oh, God.
Yeah.
Shocking. If you can't trust a guy named Old Dirty Bastard, who can you trust?
His real name's Russell. All right. Well, Jay, it was awesome. Come back anytime. Come back every time.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. It's been fun. Good hearing you guys chit-chat again. Good to catch up.
Yeah, chair's always open. We do it the same time every week. Not much has changed since you left.
No. Maybe I'll have a little more to talk about next time.
It's all right. It's good to have you back. And it was good for us to be back. We took a week off. Real life got in the way. But hey, shit happens. If perhaps you clicked on the donate button, that's at ChristopherMedia.net, or click through the Amazon banner, you know, Aaron could have hired some movers. We wouldn't have missed a beat. Wouldn't have missed a show. But you could be like Dawn. You can donate like she does every month. Don, we see you. We thank you. New listeners, we see you as well. We are on Spreaker, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, the iHeartRadio app, ChristopherMedia.net, Stitcher, shit that I'm sure I'm forgetting. But check us out every Saturday. We thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week.
See ya.
All right, later, guys.
See ya.
Unregimented.
ChristopherMedia.net. ChristopherMedia.net.
If you like this show, please tell a friend. Please make sure to rate and comment on all your favorite Christopher Media shows. Please follow us on Twitter and like and share us on Facebook. You can subscribe to all ChristopherMedia.net shows for free on ChristopherMedia.net. Thank you for listening, and thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.